Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew Frick. I'm from the University of New Mexico and Kennedy Space Center. NASA wants to put astronauts on Mars in 2030, and they realize they can't take the resources they need to support that. So the plan is to send swarm robots up first. They'll gather resources. Water ice was discovered on Mars not too long ago, so you have oxygen, you have hydrogen. These robots will mine those resources and have them waiting for astronauts when they arrive. So this provides an initiative from NASA to develop algorithms and robotic technology to support this mission. What we've done is recruited 40 universities in the U.S. to come up with algorithms for discovering resources, gathering the resources, and returning them to a central location. So there are two missions here. One is to create a technology to support this mission, and secondly, to train people in robotics. So the next generation of ROS programmers will be able to contribute to future missions at NASA. For free, we provide hardware to these teams based on desert harvester ants that exist in the deserts around New Mexico. So these ants are really good at finding resources in the environment and bringing them back to a central location. So these robots are based on the behavior we observed in these ants. There are two competitions. One is with real hardware, and the other is a gazebo simulation. So teams can enter their algorithms, and we have a virtual competition, and we see who can gather the most resources in the least time. And then eventually, these mining robots that we've developed, these are low-G robots that can be sent to other planets. They're very light. They will actually carry out these algorithms, mine the water ice, and return to central location. So to find out more about the Swarmathon, you can go to nasaswarmathon.com. It's really motivating to be able to see students out there. As soon as you say, we're going to other planets, they say, okay, teach me about ROS.
Hi, I'm Mingu from Dorabot. Bear with me, I'm not really prepared for this talk, but when your boss asks you to do it, you're gonna do it, right? So here's our, we are located in Shenzhen. Our goal is to build a mobile manipulator robot, general purpose robot mobile manipulator. This is our first prototype we built during the first half of this year. As you can see, the picking robot picks up an item through object recognition, pose estimation, and grasp planning and motion planning. And it picks up an item and gives it to a runner robot, a similar idea to the fetch robotics. Our goal is to make this kind of robot that can be adapted to various situations, various environment, and for various tasks. As you can see, there's a lot to improve, and we need more resources. So if you're interested, we are hiring. So if you go out there, there's a booth. You can talk with our HR and PR. We are also participating in grasping and manipulation challenge in IROS in Daejeon. This footage is our robot doing a few of the manipulation tasks. The hand you see right now, Dexterous Hand, is built by one of our mechanical designer, engineer. It has tactile and angle sensors and has it's under-actuated, so it adapts to the shape of the object and it's easier to control. Oh, and the hand is modular, so we can change the configuration depending on our need. It can be a parallel gripper, it can be three fingers gripper like this. One of our team is also working on multi-robot system, and these are the training sets that we are working on with deep learning.
Hello everyone, and this is my partner Colin, and I'm Johnson. We are from Taiwan. Today we are talking about autonomous car based on ROS. As you are a beginner, maybe you start from tutorial 101 to 10 and learning about ROS. And we are thinking, where is the real robot I can really play on ROS? So actually, you just need a small router, a computer, and a ducky tongue bunny car. Yes, it's based on Raspberry Pi, Ubuntu 16.04, and ROS Kinetic. This is we're a team, and yeah, especially thanks to Joseph and Nick and Hong Yi. Okay, let's demo.
This project was based on MIT's Ducky Town, and MIT Ducky Town is a material for the course of their autonomous course, And last semester in Taiwan, Professor Nick Wong taught us about the computer vision, and we use this as material too. We also signed for the Bird of the Feather, and we will explain how this works, and we have to do some more research about real time and road school.
Hello everyone, I'm Sam. I like to do demos and hacks, and I love to use Python, and well, for it there's nothing better than dynamic recovery, but I had a little problem with it. The thing is, yeah, to make a dynamic reconfigure server, you need to do this CFG file, and then you need to add permissions and put stuff in the CMake list, and you need to compile, and you need to source the workspace, and finally you can run whatever you wanted. And whenever you want to change it, you need to go back to the CFG file, compile again. That doesn't feel Pythonic at all, and I didn't like it, so I made something to fix it. I made dynamic reconfigure for Python, which is nothing else than you declare whatever you want to put in the dynamic reconfigure, like you did in that previous file, although I added a bit of help to make it easier, so if you miss some part, it will give some value that makes sense. And in the end, you just instantiate the server. You do start, and that's it, and your dynamic reconfigure is running. And you can directly execute the script. You don't even need to compile, so you don't even need a workspace. Meanwhile, you have installed dynamic reconfigure. So can go back to the first slide. This is part of the job I did at PAL Robotics, and there it is. I have an issue open on dynamic reconfigure to try to just add it to dynamic reconfigure, but for that we should have a equivalent C++ implementation, which we have something for integers and doubles, but I'm not so good at C++ at all, so if someone wants to help to make it full, to have the same thing in C++, that would be awesome. Even though you will need to compile, but at least you can, you know, say this variable, now it's dynamic reconfigure, which is pretty cool.
Didn't know this week Google released Cartographer, which is a really awesome open sourced SLAM library. So I work for TRI, and we added support on our robot HSR, and we really think it's awesome. So let's go ahead and see how it works. Why would you want to use this? Because of awesome loop closures, guys. I know this is a big. Oh, we went back. All right. Well, this is a big problem in SLAM loop closing, and also this 3D SLAM. So what this does is it does a vertical occupancy map as well as a planar occupancy map, and it's able to track up and down stairs and through large spaces. And so this is from the Deutsche Museum, and Google's also going to release 3 years of data collections from this museum. So there'll be a lot of data that you can test your algorithms over and see how well it works in comparison with this. So we can see it going around and actually doing all these loop closures as it's going. It's really awesome. All right, so what do you do when you get a new piece of code? You have to test it, right? So we decided at TRI that we were gonna have a little bit of fun with this test, and we were going to create this little video showing a small location, but with a large array of dynamic things. So I do wanna point out that we shot this on HSR. This is actually shot using a ROS bag. So we collected all the data, including the camera data, and we went through our little lab, which is set up like a mock kitchen or a mock living room home, and we did a whole bunch of fun things. So we're testing out like things that are statically dynamic, like chairs in the background, things that move around that the LiDAR catches, like drawers that move out in your kitchen, making sure that things like doorways, this is our doorway here, our LiDAR is low on our robot, that's not messing up the SLAM algorithm. And you can see all the edges of this map are kept really straight. And higher dynamic things like rolling around on chairs actually don't really get added at all. And so this is the last portion that we're going through here, is moving the chairs back and forth. It actually sees these chairs twice, so they have a high probability of being there. But as the robot is going through, you see they start to fade out. And then once the robot hits the end of the room, and it realizes that a loop closure has happened, all of the chairs go back to actually where they currently are. So, yay. You should actually watch it with the music. There's fun music involved. It looks much more like an OK Go video. Okay, so here's the thing you should take a picture of. If you're going to take a picture, go get the code. It's on GitHub. It has HSR and TurtleBot support currently. You can also use the code at RoboCup at home, HSR, and join TRI.
All right, so my name is Kyle Fazari. I'm with Canonical, the makers of Ubuntu. And I want to talk to you about your deployment strategy for ROS. So you finished, you know, the initial R&D, you're ready to start shipping something. How do you get from your code to shipping devices? Well, you can submit your project to the build farm, right? Submit your source dev. But what happens if your project isn't public, if it's not open source? You can use Bloom and then build your devs locally, but then how do you keep them up to date? You have to put all this infrastructure together to make that happen. You can, you know, like when you develop, you can just ship it with source, but that kind of has both problems, right? You have a device with source code on it, and you still can't really update it. And what about your factory process? How do you generate an image that has all these things set up and ready to go? Well, you should consider creating a snap. Now, a snap is a new packaging format that allows one to create a system and its dependencies in a single distributable package. It works really well for ROS because you can easily build your entire workspace into this one single snap. You can also bundle, well, you kind of have to, bundle all your dependencies together into the snap. It gives you absolute control over what makes up your system. We have a great tool called Snapcraft that makes this particularly easy. You just give it your ROS workspace and it uses ROS dep to figure out your dependencies and pulls everything down for you and puts it into a snap. Once you have that snap, all you gotta do is upload it to the store and you can roll it out to all of your users. Not only that, but once you have it up in the store, it's installable on a ton of different Linux distributions. So you could really settle on whatever operating system you wanted for your device, but why would you? We have something called Ubuntu Core, which is the same Ubuntu you know and love, but it's stripped down specifically to target embedded devices. It's built completely on snaps, from the kernel to the OS to the applications you put on top of it, so the entire system gets the benefits of snaps. Now, snaps are confined by nature, which means if, God forbid, the thing is exploited, right, the amount of damage they can do is really limited. They can't walk all over the system. The update story behind snaps is fantastic because they're, since they are self-contained like this, they're squashfs images. If an update happens and fails, then it can roll back to the previous version. You can easily create an app store for your device if you're interested in that because we already have one. All you got to do is put your snap there. Not only that, but we have tools specifically for factory processes, generating images pre-installed with snaps and set up ready to go, ready for deployment.
So, hi, I'm Steve O'Kay. So I wanted to feel a little bit upstaged by the Canonical guys, but it's really nice to see other people who care about configuration and deployment and stuff like that. So this is, I want to talk to you about a GitHub project I've been working on for a bit called Laniakea, which is a set of Ansible roles and playbooks for provisioning ROS onto controller hosts pretty automatically. It addresses a dirty but necessary job that I was tired of doing, and I know a lot of you out there are also tired doing, and none of us are really very good at it. But it just kind of has to be done, you know, eventually to make all this stuff happen. Packages, ROS, packages, drivers, everything has to get onto our robots, and they have to do it repeatedly. I got tired of doing it, and so I want to help you and me do it too. So Ansible is a deployment, provisioning and deployment, and configuration management framework. It's really easy to use, requires no controllers, there's no modules to set up. You don't have to like spec out your entire infrastructure, decide what you're gonna, you know, have on your robot. Ultimately, you can just kinda jump into it. So far what I have working on here is hardware roles for deploying ROS, installing ROS either via SD card or hard disk to generic x86 platforms, Raspberry Pi, Pi 1, Pi 2 and Pi 3, the Jetson family, the upboard. Also have roles for doing things like installing RealSense, installing the Zed camera, all sorts of interesting stuff like that. Let me just walk through here. What do I got? So, yeah, send me pull requests, send me bug reports, contribute to this. I started this because, like I said, I notice a lot of people have to do this, and now that running a startup, I have to do it too. But everybody kind of tends to look around. They find that it looks like nobody's done it because everybody adds their own special sauce to things, and then it kind of disappears inside their organization, and nobody learns from anybody else's previous work. So check it out. The name, really quick. Laniakea is a turtle hatching ground in Hawaii. So robots, Ross, turtles. Yeah, you see what I did there. I actually went there.
Hi, everyone. So great to be here. So I am the co-founder of Hizimov Robotics, and we've been working on a project that we want to share with you today, and it's called Oros.io. So it's a web platform to help you create ROS system. So you can create ROS system by adding nodes, by describing your system with nodes. You can add your own nodes. You can remap the topics just by merging the blocks. You can edit your URDF directly online. And finally, you export your system as a ROS package, and you just launch it on your machine. So this is just the beginning. Oros.io is not just a graphical interface to ROS. It will be a full development environment for robotics based on ROS. In the future, you will be able to use Oros.io to create robot application from software selection to the user interface generation. So how can you help us? Oros.io is in beta, it's online. So you can go on the website and request an invitation. So give it a try, give us feedback. We really need them.
I'm Tanjay Sari from Reputa Robotics. We build low-cost connected robots. So the takeaway from all this is basically connecting robots opens up possibilities that weren't possible earlier. Though it does this, it adds an additional layer of complexity, right? Some of these examples are like, if your robot is sitting at a client site thousands of miles away, you still need a way to talk to the robot, update it, deal with those sort of things. If you have the cloud, it gives you limitless computation and storage, but you need a declarative way to actually manage the application lifecycle and actually harness the benefits of the cloud, like the elasticity of it, the robustness of the cloud. And now that you have the cloud, you have a web browser, you have a robot, you have an edge location, you need some sort of messaging layer to connect all this up and make everything work together. And all these complexities basically mean time. And I think that basically the robotics developer should spend time on building the best robotic experience. For instance, a robot that quickly gets me my beer from the fridge in an optimal way. That would be great. And the cloud platform should take away these things from the developer and actually provide a basic building block. And I think that's very similar to how what brought along the mobile revolution. And you had the App Store, and you had all the distribution channels and the entire ecosystem that was built up, and that actually allowed you to scale to millions of users. And if we can do that with the cloud for robotics, we can probably see the next generation of robots evolve.
I want to present our developed plugin about simulating the RoboCup Soccer humanoid environment. RoboCup Soccer Simulator has been developed since 2006 and has been used since 2006. However, there is a lack of accuracy in the simulating the humanoid robots. The RoboCup Simulator is used in the humanoid simulation of the RoboCup. And instead of using the RoboCup Simulator, we try to use the Gazebo. Gazebo is a very well-developed simulator, open source, modular, and reliable. In order to do that, we should design a plugin that can simulate a multi-agent environment. And also, the same robot model that used in RoboCup should also be simulated in Gazebo. And also, the same effector and perceptor message should be developed. If we do that, after that, the teams that participate in RoboCup can easily transfer to using Gazebo. So this is our overall architecture of our simulator. We have a server module that can handle the communication between several agents and the plugin. And when the agents spawn on the plugin, we have an effector part and perceptor part. The perceptor part update the perceptor message, and the effector part interpret the message that's sent by the robot. And after that, each agent, we update the state of each agent. All of this module uses the Gazebo word model. And we modeled our robot by using SCF format. And in our simulation world, the simulation step size is 1 millisecond, and the simulation frequency is 1,000. We use the ODE as our physics engine. In the plugin, the joint commands are also controlled by PID controllers. So we use this plugin in RoboCup 2016 in a running challenge. Several teams around the world participated in that challenge, and each agent ran for 5 times, and the fastest agent won the challenge. The code of each team should be implemented by themselves, and we have already 2 teams released their code of their walking agent. The first team was from United States, and it can walk with more than 1 meter. They use robot learning Gazebo in order to perform that action. The second was from Portugal, and the third from Germany. And if you want, you are interested in that Gazebo plugin, you can find the release source code in the Bitbucket link. And if you are interested in the released agent that can run in the Gazebo, you can find the agent's code in this GitHub agent. This is a group project. It's a big project sponsored by Open Source Robotics Foundation and Google Summer of Code.
When I start to use ROS, I was always struggling with programming with like just a text editor and then command line. So I always ask myself why there is no environment for ROS programming. My answer is I'm not smart enough. So that's the reason why I need that. But after I had several interviews, many interviews with some college students to ask them, what do you feel about ROS? They always said the entrance level of ROS is quite high. So it's not easy for them to start their development in ROS. We know robots business and research is, you know, getting developed faster and faster. So we need more people to go to this area. So I think probably we need a quite good tool to help them to get into that area. So that's the reason why we developed the RoboWare Studio. As Atom said, we also thanks to GitHub, because we use Electron as the base core as well. And we use VS Code as the second level to support us to develop a tool specially for ROS development. So that's provide ROS workspace management, code editing, building, debugging, etc. And that makes ROS development quite easy. I just give you a demo. This is the procedure of we use RoboWare Studio. Just launch it, then we can set up a workspace, and then we can create a new package. Just put name in. Then we can see if we want to add a node. RoboWare Studio will ask you to build up an executable file or a lib file. Then it will automatically modify CMake file list to do that. And you can edit it. You can get the syntax highlighting, auto completion, go to definition, etc., to make the programming quite easy. And then you can debug it. You can set a breakpoint and track everything. Okay, after compile, you can see the node list here. And then you can put the arguments in.
So if somebody from you was there at last year's ROSCON, there was a bird of the feather session about like, oh, how do I actually program? Like, what's the right way of like, what editor do I use? What should my IDE use be like? How should I configure it? And all the stuff. And it was an interesting discussion because, of course, everybody has his own opinion what the right editor is. But since last year, a lot of stuff has changed. Me personally, I worked a long time with Sublime Text, and since last year, actually, was able to switch to Atom. And I just want to give my short experience and also how to easily start with that. So one big advantage of Atom is that it's very highly customizable. So there's, I would say, almost nothing you can just add as a plugin to it. And of course, for everybody who programs all the day, you just don't want to touch your mouse. You just want to have your hands on the keyboard all the time. So it's good that you can do everything with shortcuts. But that's pretty common. The good thing is that it's very feature-rich editor. So you can have syntax highlighting, standard. You can have linters, which will validate that your code complies to certain constraints, like Python code, for example, to the PEP8 or PEP257 standard. Or you want to ensure that actually your code, while you type it, is not actually invalid if it's C++. You don't even have to start the compiler for that. It can happen in background. Or if you write like a Gazebo model, you just want to like just validate it immediately. If you mistype an attribute, it just tell you immediately. Auto-completion also very standard, and you want to have access to all the documentation. So devdocs.io is a place where documentation from different languages gets accumulated, so it's good to have that like at the fingertip. But there are also features like this example where you have a really complicated, in this case not that complicated, regular expression, and you just want to visualize it, and the editor just has plugins for that. You just go to the regular expression, you see the nice railroad diagram. It's just a lot of benefits for you as a developer. Usually it's very difficult to like set it all up because there are so many packages involved. So how can you get bootstrapped easier to get started and try it out? Well, the steps are really simple by now. That was not the case last year, but now you just install Atom. You install a single package. It's called Sync Settings. And then in order to configure everything, you first have to enter your token for GitHub. And then you can clone an existing configuration. You can, for example, use the one I referenced. That's the one I currently use. It's a gist file on GitHub. You just clone that. And by that one, you get the same setup I use on my machine. And that's great. You sometimes have to install some dependencies, like Python PEP8 or something. So that's not optimal yet. But I think that's a good start to get to try out Atom. So if you want to give it a shot, and or if you want to give feedback, or if you want to see the configuration, just see me later, and I can show it live.